Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Last week we heard about how angelic messengers from the Lord came to Abraham and Sarah while they were living out in their tent, and how the messengers were eagerly welcomed with grand hospitality by the old, childless couple. After showing a gracious welcome to their heavenly visitors, Abraham and Sarah were promised that they would have a child, Isaac, in their old age, and through their son they would be the ancestors of a great nation, a multitude chosen by God. This week, our first lesson focuses on where the angelic messengers went next: Sodom and Gomorrah. Contrary to the warm welcome these visitors received when they went to Abraham and Sarah, when the angels went to Abraham's nephew Lot's house in Sodom, they were threatened with severe cruelty and sexual violence. Genesis records that everyone in Sodom, young and old alike, turned out to do these holy men harm, seeking to force them to suffer because they were foreigners who did not belong. Sodom and Gomorrah epitomize evil in the Old Testament and are referenced several times throughout Scripture as an example of God's wrath on those who perpetuate evil. Now, a quick note. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah has widely been used as a biblical proof text against homosexuals and homosexual relationships between consenting adults. This use of the Sodom and Gomorrah story is a misinterpretation and misuse of the text. There are other biblical stories that have men from different communities performing similar abuse to women and being held accountable in similar ways to Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sins were not in their sexual orientation, but in the sexual violence that they intended to use to harm the foreigners in their city. Now, our passage for this week occurs right before all this heinous sinning and wrath went down. At the beginning of the passage, the angels and Abraham are still together, and they are talking to God. The Lord spoke directly with Abraham while his divine visitors were still with him, and said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." The original Hebrew for this verse goes out of its way to use several adjectives to describe how great the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah was. It was catching the Lord's attention. They were not just caught up in any old sins, but exceedingly great sin that the Lord could not deny. So God went down to check on it, up close and personal, by sending the angels on ahead from Abraham's company to be the Lord's eyes and ears. It is interesting to think that the Lord would need to descend to Sodom and Gomorrah from the heavenly places instead of just knowing everything that was happening right in that instant. Traditional Christian belief is that God is omniscient, all-knowing, and that God knows even our deepest thoughts and secrets all the time. So why would God need to descend to check on things further? Well, in the context of the passage, this descending to check on things business gave the people of Sodom and Gomorrah a window of a second chance to be forgiven and receive the Lord's mercy, even though that ultimately proved futile. Enter Abraham. Actually, he was there the whole time. But after the angels left to head towards Sodom, Abraham took the opportunity to talk to God one-on-one and plead for the people whose evil deeds had raised such an outcry to the Almighty. In a courageous moment of cosmic bargaining, Abraham asked the Lord if he would spare the cities if there were merely 50 righteous found in Sodom. Quite the audacious move, if you ask me. Who was Abraham to question God and direct the Lord away from a divine plan of action? But Abraham did indeed plead for mercy on the cities, if there were even 50 righteous people found there. And the Lord conceded that it was not right to destroy them, even for the sake of these few. Then, even better yet, Abraham starts to hedge his bets. He apparently knew how bad the people of Sodom and Gomorrah really were, and began to doubt his original proposition. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking, Abraham continued. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? No, the Lord responded. Sodom and Gomorrah would be spared if there were only 45 righteous people found in Sodom. Abraham hedged again. What about 40? Sure, they will be spared for 40. What about 30? No problem. The cities would be spared if God found 30 righteous people there. What about 20? 10? Can they be spared for the sake of only 10? The Lord answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." God would show mercy on the whole horde of wicked people if they had a mere 10 righteous neighbors within the city of Sodom. Wow, Abraham really whittled that one down. This whole bargaining sequence reveals a couple of things to us. First is that Sodom and Gomorrah were pervasively and wholly evil in the eyes of the writers of Genesis. The Lord could not even find 10 righteous people living among them. In a bleak way, they earned the judgment that they experienced at the hands of God. Their evil deeds spoke for themselves, and nobody was innocent of the sins of the cities. Yet God is not wholly wrathful or unbending. This text also shows us that God was willing to listen to Abraham. Though God had long ago created the heavens and the earth by this point in Genesis, already had sent the flood to destroy and remake the world from its sinful start, already had torn down the Tower of Babel, and had already called Abraham and Sarah out from obscurity, God was still willing to listen to the pleas of a humble, mortal man. God was not beyond listening to, taking in, and heeding the pleas of Abraham, and was willing to spare cities full of evil people, simply and solely because Abraham asked him to. Just as Jesus promised that our Heavenly Father will listen to our prayers in our gospel lesson this week, God listened to Abraham without hesitation. Finally, this bargaining sequence in the text shows us that God is indeed merciful and always has been. Though God would not abide the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah to go unpunished, the Lord was unwilling to punish the innocent with the guilty, and would be merciful to the whole for the sake of just a few. God has always been slow to anger and quick to forgive. And this story from our often gory and vengeance-filled Old Testament shows us that God has always been merciful. Sure, God does not allow evil to persist unchecked, but neither does God punish the righteous for the sins of the wicked. God is holy and just, and an essential aspect of God's justice is forgiveness. Alexander III was Tsar of Russia from 1881 to 1894. His rule was marked by repression, and in particular, by persecution of Jewish people. His wife, Maria Fedorovna, provided a stark contrast to her husband, as she was known for her generosity, especially to people in need. On one occasion, her husband reportedly had signed an order consigning a prisoner to life in exile. It read simply, "Pardon impossible, to be sent to Siberia." Maria intervened and changed that prisoner's life by moving the comma in her husband's order. Instead of reading "Pardon impossible, to be sent to Siberia," she changed it to read, "Pardon impossible to be sent to Siberia." She saved that prisoner's life with a small act of mercy. She moved a comma, and she saved him. God in Jesus Christ intervenes for us in a similar way. Jesus intervened on our behalf to alter judgments against us. though all are worthy of the fate that befell Sodom and Gomorrah, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again, so that we may all be reborn among the righteous, not doomed to die like those ancient cities of old. Jesus has moved the comma over our lives to say, pardon, impossible to condemn, so that we can rest assured that the God who has always been merciful will continue to save us from our own destruction and give us a seat among the righteous forever. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.